want to share this with you, because this is where that stream of mercy comes from, that wonderful stream that fills our hearts. God knew the plight of man. He knew that we had a religious streak. He knew that that religiousness was a pain in the neck. He knew it was leading us astray. And people were so religious and so wrong. It's like sincerity. You can be sincerely right and sincerely wrong. And the Word of God teaches us that when Jesus came, he didn't come in a normal fashion. He came to reveal the glory of God. Now, there's a word that we use, and lots of us have used it hundreds of thousands of times. And I would like to say to you, it has various meanings. It means to be happy. It means to be excited about things of God. But Kenneth Wiest, an American who died in 64, perhaps one of the best translators of Greek that there's been in America for a long time, he said, if you take this word and understand it in its original form, it means all of the happiness and it means all of the excitement of the being religious. But what it really means beyond all of that is to be spiritually prosperous. And so when I read this, I would ask you to think of spiritual prosperity. Jesus came in and it was a breath of fresh air. He didn't do what all the other rabbis did. He didn't do what all the other Pharisees did. He spoke differently and he appealed to the presence of the man in the street. And he said, you, sir, need to understand that God knows where you are, who you are, how you are. And he said to his disciples and all that were listening, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, and so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Blessed. Jesus said, I would like you to come with me and let me come with you to the place where you can understand the announcement of the gospel. And this announcement of the gospel is so that you can understand me, understand the living God who is my Father, and understand his Holy Spirit whom he gives when I am gone. Out of you shall flow rivers of living water, said Jesus. He wasn't speaking of gushing water tearing out of our mouths like a fountain. He was talking about the spirit of a man, a spirit of a woman that was filled with the freshness, the refreshing rain, the refreshing beauty of water. The heart panteth at the water brook. The reason he pants, he's been chased by the hunter. You've been chased by the hunter all these years, what Jesus was implying, through the psalmist. And Satan is the hunter. And you've not made it. And you've been terrified. And you've seen God as a judge, judging God. A God that is frowning. If you want to see that sort of God, go to India. It is estimated, because they cannot count the number, but it is estimated that there are 35,000 gods in India. A friend of mine took me from one city to another, and as we traveled, he said, look at the temples, all these temples. Not one of these gods that are cut in stone and wood are smiling. They're all miserable, fierce, and showing their teeth and their fangs. And it was true. That's the God that Satan would humiliate us with. And that's the God that some people take on board and say, this is God. There used to be a song, it was a foolish song, but it was a popular song in England, and it said this, God's going to get you for that. There was a chorus, it said, God's going to get you for that. And the fellow that was impressed by Elvis Presley and was wiggling all over the stage and yelling into his microphone was saying, God's going to get you for that. God never did get you for that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him would never be perishing but always have everlasting life. Isn't that lovely? Where are you today? You've got a God that's frowning over your shoulder somewhere? That's not the God of our Lord Jesus. That's not the Father of our Lord Jesus. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's not the Lord Jesus at all. We are forgiven. We are forgiven. I would like to take you a little further. The disciples came to Jesus, and in the 6th chapter of Matthew's Gospel and verses 9 through 14, excuse me, they say to Jesus, how do we pray? I have to tell you, I don't know. I don't know. How do I pray? The young boy for whom I'm sort of a surrogate grandfather has done some very silly thing, and he will go to jail most likely. And the DA in Salem is working out how many years, 6 is the minimum, he's going to spend in jail. He's 18. I don't know how to pray. How would you pray? Lord, deliver him. Lord, let the DA change his mind. Let the law be changed overnight so that he is excluded and exonerated and vindicated. Is that how you would pray? I don't know how to pray. And I'm challenged with these words of the Apostle Paul that says, all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his loving presence, who are called. This young man said to me when he was about 16, I think God wants me to be a minister. You know, right now, in this congregation, those of you that will be elders of churches, and he comes to your church and says, Cyril Stevens once said, or listened to me say, I wanted to be a minister. But I've been in jail. And you would put that on his resume and say, wow, that's great. Come, be our pastor. He won't. How can you possibly have a man like that? I'll tell you, if you look at the life of the Apostle Paul, he spent more time in jail than he did running around preaching. And he preached better sermons in jail and from the jail than he did when he was in the open. And when he was under terrific pressure, and when they were about to stone him, and when they lashed him with a whip, and when they beat him with rods, he preached better sermons just by being there. And Paul of Tarsus, he had to get out of the way before his ministry could go anywhere. Interesting, isn't it? So these people came to Jesus. They said, you know, we don't know what to pray. Tell us how to pray. Now, this was to the disciples. Got to remember this. The real Lord's Prayer is John 17. But this is a skeleton for prayer. If you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus, a believer, a person that has put their faith in Christ the Lord, when you pray, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Oh, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Short prayer. One day, this dear old fellow, who was a descendant of Isaac Watts, the writer of hymns, was standing in our prayer meeting, and he always managed to stand on, he had a walking stick, and he'd push himself up with a walking stick, which took forever. And then when he got upright, he would grab the chair or pew back, and he would then put both hands on that, and his walking stick would always fall to the floor. And we teenagers used to enjoy that because we now could kick it underneath places where we shouldn't, and he couldn't find it. But he would stand there and he would say, "Oh Lord, oh Lord." And after several "oh Lords," he'd get into praying. And we thought that was funny, and we always looked forward to him praying because it was a fun time. He would say silly things. And one day he was going on at an alarming rate, and our pastor, who was quite a humorist, he leaned back in the chair at the front and he said, "Now, while our brother Watts is finishing his prayer, let's sing him 402. And of course, we thought that was hilarious. Years later, I was calling this back into my memory, from my memory bank, and thinking, what did the man ever say that I could now comprehend? One of the things was he prayed for me. He prayed for every teenager in our group. There were 40 regulars in our group, and he prayed for every one of us. It took forever for him to get through a prayer. Sometimes my wife thinks I'm that, like that fellow, because the tea gets cold or the coffee gets cold at breakfast time while I'm praying for all these people. But it's a great, wondrous thing to listen to a man praying. It's scary. Lord, can we have nice weather for the fall festival, please? We did. Now we have to say thank you. What's wrong with us that we don't have healing? I hate to think it's a lack of faith. I believe that God is able to do why exceedingly abundantly more than anything I can possibly imagine. But I go to the doctor. And I say to the doctor, "What's wrong?" He never tells me. He waffles on, says, "Take two new pills, take more insulin." I'm a bag of insulin most days. I now take more than 300 units a day. I'm sure that can't be any good to me. I think it's rotting my toes. They hurt. What do you do? Doesn't God heal? Oh, I know he does. I'm convinced he does. But then I'm faced with, you know, my daughter, not mine, but you will be, some of you might say this. My daughter, my son, they're having a bad time in their marriage and it's falling apart. We've sent them to counselors. Why don't we send them to prayer? Because we don't believe it works. So if we go back to this prayer, we discover very quickly, just by glancing through it, that if we ask the Lord to help us, and if we come before the Lord and seek his face, we find not just his announcement, but we discover his answer. And Jesus was saying to the people, this is the answer you need. When you pray, pray, my dearest, my darling Papa. For that is the translation of the original Greek. Who is living in heaven. Awesome be your name. Let your kingdom. Let us be so obedient. Let us be so convinced that your way should be our way. And let this way of yours be our precious life to live. And Lord, will you please enter into our experience. Thy kingdom come on earth. Now somebody's going to say, that's all the second coming. Psh, Jesus has come. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah and amen. But you know, there's something wrong with that teaching. I absolutely agree that Jesus is coming. I absolutely agree with all the bits and pieces that we read about in the scripture of Jesus' return. But I have to tell you, something's not right. Something's not right because many of us have thought he should have been here by now. And he's not here. And we'd have been comforted more by seeing him here than praying to him in heaven. Thy kingdom come, all the tenets, all the obedience of heaven, let that come here. Now let's look at the girl that's getting divorced or the fellow that's getting divorced. Now let's look at the kid going to jail. Let's look at all the problems of the lives of all our people and everybody you know. Let's look at all of these lives. The answer to their lives is in the kingdom of God, not planted in their lives, but becoming part of their lives. Trusting Jesus all the way. This is his great answer. Notice he says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. There is no questioning God in heaven. I heard Bill Mather, who I do not admire. I just was flicking through the channels, and Bill Mather said, there are people that believe in this Savior thing, and they're believing in a carpenter of all people. I clicked him off. I remember the day when he'd have been thrown off the air for insulting Jesus. Not now. Why? Church of God, Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never mind all your labels, they'll either fall off as you go up or burn off as you go down. Never mind your label. Tell me, Why haven't we protested so strongly to the media and said this filth, this blasphemy should stop? We won't. I don't know why that is. I don't think we think that God can make it happen. Yet we know he can make it happen, but we don't think he will make it happen. We're frightened it might not go the way we think. Rather like, who are you going to vote for? Don't tell anybody, because it might go the other way, and oh my, it could be awful. The Muslims could be in power within 5 years, and you better think that. They could. In England, 50% of the voting public is Muslim. Know why? Nobody believed the prayer that they prayed. Oh, it goes on. Give us this day our daily bread. Let me go back to forgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we forgive them that are indebted to us. This is conditional. Jesus says, you can be forgiven, but it's balanced out with, to the same extent that you forgive those that trespass against you. Got any unpaid debts? Better get them paid. Because this economy is not going to get very much better in the next little while, and you need to be out of debt. Oh, you'll say, I have to pull my belt in tight to do that. May even have to get rid of my favorite toys. Do it. Last of all, the Lord Jesus talks about his authority. And there's not time to go into all of this. But in the 28th chapter, the verses 18 through 20, listen to this. The Lord Jesus is back from the dead. This is the greatest hallelujah of all the Bible. Oh, Satan could not and cannot conquer death. He cannot. In fact, he uses death as the great awful thing that can happen to you. Why, says the cowboy, I've got a gun. Do as I say. Why, says the policeman, lay on the ground. All the fierceness of threats and bullyism. It's all on TV. The man that has the gun, he has the authority. Bilge. That's nonsense. And you have to be able to say, listen to Jesus. All power, all authority. Now, the word power in the original language has two meanings. The first one is the dynamic, the dynamos, the explosive action. And the other meaning is simply this, the legal right. It means you have a legal right to say this or to do this or to have this. And so the power that is being spoken of here, Jesus says, this is the explosive power. It is the legal right for every person that loves the Lord Jesus Christ to believe in me. All power, all dynamite, all the power is given to me in the heavens, in the earth, beneath the earth. It's all mine. And we say, oh my, really? But people die. Well, of course they die. From ashes we came, from dust we came, to dust and ashes we return. That's this body. But my spirit that is born again is absent from this body, present with my Lord, and because it's present with my Lord, I am alive forever and forever, and that's called eternal life. Do you believe that stuff? Amen. Good. Now rejoice. Rejoice. You look so morbid. He's saying the doxology nicely, very politely, by the way, but nicely. you sang the doxology and you're all thrilled that we got $151,000. That's great. That's wonderful. Especially if I was having it, but I don't get any of that. But, you know, this is... But you look morbid. You think this is a funeral. If you were to see this front row here, there's a kid about this big. He's 2 weeks old. Dusty, the father's hanging on to the other one. There's another one here and there's another one somewhere else. Kids galore. You know, this church is so blessed, we've got more kids than we can think about. And our teenagers are going to be massive in about 10 years. It's going to be a marvelous church. Be completely different, and all of us old grey hairs will be gone. We'll be in heaven. Pray for us. Pray for this church. Oh, yes. And pray for its leadership, that we may walk humbly and quietly in the presence of the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. A day I shall never forget. When Jesus grabbed hold of the sin of my life and took it away and gave me new life. Oh, oh, what a wonderful day. See, this is Jesus talking to us. He says, you really don't have to worry that your 401k has gone bang and you've lost all this money on the stock market. Your hay isn't worth what it should be, and you may as well give the beef to other people because that's all going to die off anyway. You can think that way, or you can say, I didn't own anything anyway. It all belonged to Jesus. And if he's taken a cut in his product, that's up to him. But I'll be all right. How do I know that? Because he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he never leaves me alone. And he holds my hand. And he fills me with renewed springs of living water. And I live. Christ Jesus lives today. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you think? You young people, don't you think so? You don't know? My sermon should go on for another 50 minutes. Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you ever so much for being our precious, lovely, passionate Lord. And we come into your presence humbled by the fact that you loved us just as we are, without one plea, but that your blood was shed for each one of us in this room. And we ask you to bless us and to help us and cause us to be alive in you. Bless, please, every person here and cause us to rejoice in Jesus always and again to rejoice. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. Here's Dale and Gwen.